Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Our guest for the hour ahead, Shirlene Reeves, will be here to talk to us about, yes, conquering your goals and achieving success. She is a motivational speaker and author and the CEO and founder of Maximize Your Wealth Now. What a good thing to think of it, to think of on tax day, right? And her book is Selling Through Your Heart. You know, the big thing besides selling is how to close a deal, and she's going to talk to us a bit about that in just a few moments. Also, Dr. Arlen Diamond, we've talked to her many, many times. She's an expert on all workplace processes. DiamondAssociates.net is where you want to find her. You can hire her to come in and fix anything in your workplace, large or small. She is going to talk about how to deal with conflict in the workplace, especially when there are colliding cultures. She has so many books under her name, under her belt, and so we're always glad whenever we can get Dr. Diamond on with us here on America Trends. And Tom DelBaccaro of PoliticalVanguard.com, he's a contributor to Fox Business and Fox News, and he's the former head of the Republican Party in California, lawyer, so he's got all kinds of insight into what, well, the Mueller thing. They are looking to unveil the Mueller report, redacted, this Thursday. And we'll talk about the Democratic field for running for president for 2020 in a few moments with Tom. Trending in the news, just this awful, awful news from Paris that large fire burned the world famous Notre Dame Cathedral there. Flames and thick smoke billowed starting, well, it was Monday morning our time in the States, around 6 p.m. Paris time, during rush hour, actually. This 800-plus-year-old Gothic cathedral, renovations were going on. Not sure of the cause, might have been prompted by that, who knows. Historic and landmark, do not even begin to describe Notre Dame. People were just standing there, watching, crying, silent. And after about 45 minutes of burning, the spire collapsed. I think we've got some video there that you can see. And this is a functioning church. Besides being such a historic monument, services would have been going on constantly during this Holy Week leading up to Easter Sunday. What? There goes the spire. It is just unbelievable for so many. One day after Palm Sunday, home to incalculable works of art, the most visited tourist spot in all of Paris. And you know, from the French Revolution to Nazi occupation, it survived. There is hope that they've kept some things from complete destruction. Some 16 copper monuments were taken away because of the renovation, so those we know have survived. They think they may have saved the bell towers at this hour, so it's just going to be something we'll be watching all week. So just sad news there. Back in the States now, also trending, the Mueller report. That will be released on Thursday. That's when Attorney General William Barr thinks all the redactions will be complete. The 400-page report on that Russia investigation will provide more details into what was uncovered during the 22-month special counsel investigation. And what they were doing, trying to find collusion between President Donald Trump's team and Russia. Last month, though, Barr released a four-page summary of the report once turned in to him, which stated the Mueller's investigation did not establish a criminal conspiracy. President Trump tweeted all about it today. The Mueller report, which was written by 18 angry Democrats who also happen to be Trump haters, should have focused on the people who spied on my 2016 campaign and others who fabricated the whole Russia hoax. That is, never forget the crime. To be continued. Entertainment, The Force will be with you, coming out in about mid-November when Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order comes. It hits Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and your PC, November 15th. We're going to have a look at the trailer in a few moments here on America Trends later on the show, and we thank you for being with us. We'll see you back here in just a moment, but take a look at this.
Accept the past.
Execute Order 66.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function. supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
And welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. We are going to, well, first of all, we want to thank all our people here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio for coming along with us for this hour. Ahead, we are going to have Tom DelBaccaro of PoliticalVanguard.com talking about the Democrats' dangerous reason they want to scrap the Electoral College and a few other things. He's going to take a look at the whole cadre of Democratic hopefuls for 2020 and Trump's fundraising and all the political headlines of the day. Dr. Arlen Diamond, our friend of the show, will be here talking about workplace processes and how to resolve workplace conflicts, which, you know, this can happen any day of the week, but especially if you are merging with another company, especially overseas. So she's got some interesting, valuable insight, and we look forward to Dr. Arlen Diamond ahead. But right now, on tax day, what better than to talk about maximizing your wealth, right? You got to do all this strategic planning to make sure you are planning your life and life is not planning you. And we are so glad to have Charlene Reeves, who is a business and life coach. She helps you conquer your goals and achieve success. She is a motivational speaker and author noted all around the world. And again, CEO and founder of Maximize Your Wealth. And Charlene, welcome to America Trends. How's your book doing?
Oh, it's doing great. And thank you so much for having me today, Amy. It's really, really wonderful to be here with you.
Thank you for coming on, because I know you're an international keynote speaker going all around. And you specialize in not just helping educate all of us lay people, but helping coaches do what they do. So what can you tell us about just doing better by all that?
Well, you know, I really love working with coaches because they come from their heart. And one of the biggest challenges that they have with coaching is the fact that they have so many emotions to work with that are not only their own, but their clients as well. Have you ever noticed those emotions, Amy, that just come up, especially around our politics and the things that are going on? Like you were saying earlier, in the workplace, that's where they really show up more than anything, don't you think?
Absolutely, because, you know, that's where, you know, you can try to be, you know, a mature adult, but when you get in the workplace and that affects your bottom line, and that bottom line affects your family and what you're making, your income, what you're bringing in, and it also can really affect your ego. So all those things, if we can just sort of think our way out of it and try to talk our way out of why so many of us are challenged by doing better. And, you know, I always hear these things, Charlene, which maybe you can talk about, is, okay, imagine what level you want to be at income-wise, and then times it by 10, and that blows your mind. But it's like, if you're going to think about the future anyway, why not think big? And I think that's where you might be coming from.
I think you're absolutely right. It is where I'm coming from.
Good.
And a lot of people don't think big enough. Have you noticed? I mean, they're in their little tiny world, and they're afraid to come out of it. And that's why they don't think big enough. It's sad to watch. And in the workplace, they walk in with all these emotions attached to them. And they got to get through the motions in order to help as a manager. They've got to be able to help their employees. They have to be able to, coaches have to be able to help their clients. But they, if they have so many emotions attached to them that it hurts their heart and they're afraid and worried and scared, that doesn't work. And that's what hits our bottom line.
You know, we really have to talk to ourselves every day about not taking things personally. We've heard for you know, decades, it's just business. But it truly is, because the people we're dealing with, they're going through stuff. So it probably has nothing to do with us. And I love that you talk about the reason why so many entrepreneurs are challenged with accomplishing a sustainable business and a sustainable income. And this is just part of it. And we really want, you know, our viewers to be motivated by hearing what you're going to say.
Absolutely. And it's really all about trust, to be honest with you, and trusting within and the guidance that you receive from within so that you don't make these massive mistakes that take us down the rabbit hole for years at a time. And that can be in some most important relationships that you really need in order to move forward. And we become defensive and scared and worried and have anxiety. But if we can clear those off our plate, it changes everything. And it opens us up to a new thought process so that we can get the money flowing in. But we've got to get rid of those fears and worries and anxiety first. That's the most important thing, because we take ourselves everywhere we go.
That's it. We're the only one that we take with us, right? Talking to Charlene Reeves, motivational speaker and author of CharleneReeves.com. And what I really love about you too, Charlene, is that you talk about how to manage the fear of asking for the sale, because we can brush up, we can make a beautiful website, we can figure out how to talk to our customers all day long, but you really have to make that closing, you have to be a closer and you have to ask for that sale. How do we do that?
Well, first of all, Amy, I want to tell you, you know, there's a three-step process that's so easy that you can ask for that sale without any rejection at all. And most people don't take it into account. They just try to go out and sell and sell and sell, and people run from them. Have you ever noticed how maybe if somebody walks down the hall, they'll run, some other people will run into the bathroom so they don't have to be hit hard with the sales? And that's not what it's about. It's all about building relationships so that you can work with your clients. And once you learn who your clients are and you know what their needs are, then you can call them to you instead of chasing them down the hallway into the bathroom.
It's almost the long goal, building that relationship rather than just, you know, it made me think of people who friend you on Facebook and then within 30 seconds, they're sending you about 50 invitations to like their business pages.
Right.
When I don't even know you yet. And you're talking about it in even a larger a spectrum. But I think it all goes to the same thing. Okay, you know what? We're short on time, but I know that you can make massive changes to the way we see things that can shift their business and their thinking. And thinking is a big thing. If you will go to CharleneReeves.com. Charlene, will you come back and keep us posted on all you're doing? Because I love this.
Sure, I'd happy to. Anytime you want my support, I'm here for you, Amy.
Thank you so much for coming on America Trends, Charlene Reeves.
You and me, we change the weather. Yeah, I'm feeling heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing.
Tom Del Picaro is coming up. He is with Political Vanguard, contributor to many things, including Forbes, Fox News, Fox Business, former head of the entire California Republican Party. So when it comes to ground zero, or at least one of them, of the illegal alien, illegal immigrant thing, and the border crisis, he knows of what he speaks. He's a lawyer. He's going to talk about all these things. Again, the purveyor of politicalvanguard.com. And you know what? He's a big world traveler, a European traveler, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means to lose so much of Notre Dame on this day when that fire just took so much of what it was, and Paris tries to come to grips with that. It is the most visited place in Paris and one of the most, you know, tourist welcome places in the world. And so many people are mourning the edifices, the art, and the meaning of it during this Holy Week as it burns to the ground and we lose right there the stire. So, so very, very sad. We are so glad right now, though, to welcome to America Trends our friend to the show, Dr. Arlen Diamond. She's with DiamondAssociates.net. She is an expert in leadership management, professional organizational development services. She goes into your workplace, large or small, and consults on many things, coaching, counseling. And last week, we had her here to talk about some of the cultural differences and miscommunications and conflicts in the workplace. When it comes to, well, when companies do merge, especially if there's a cultural difference. And she had so much more to talk about because, Dr. Diamond, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you, as always, because your expertise is completely unmatched all over the world. And I know, you know, for so many people, especially in this age of everybody getting sued for everything, people really do want to bury disagreements under the rug. And you say especially men. And you say there's a better way to do it that will be a better outcome for everybody.
No, I think, you know, the same thing is true in your family life. When you bury things under the rug, they come up and at, you know, at some point they become worse.
Yeah.
And in the workplace, everybody's taught to be polite and to not say anything negative and to not be a whistleblower or a snitch, depending on your culture. And so things don't get brought up. Whereas what I try to do is bring the different groups together or the different individuals together, whatever it is, and essentially create a trusting environment, a comfortable environment in which they can speak about the things that are bothering them. And I help them to speak about it in a way that's not overly hurtful. To a certain extent, obviously, sometimes it's hurtful, but not overly hurtful. And if you stay with that process, then you start to find solutions, and it no longer becomes you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy, so much as here's where the problems are, how do we modify what we're doing to fix them? And a lot of things that could escalate get fixed just by the simple process of bringing people together and helping them, not just sticking them together, I like this picture, but helping them to work it out themselves.
There are so many facets to that, because nobody wants to be a problem employee. And I'm sure a lot of bosses out there want to be liked. So it's a good short-term solution. But in the long term, what you say about trust and that camaraderie really can go a long way in making long-term relationships, long-term trust, and having a long-term relationship with employer-employee. What are some of the things that you do recommend for people who, you know, have issues? How can they be honest without being a jerk and being a problem employee, for instance?
Yeah, I think that is the fear. I think that people are afraid that they're going to be seen as jerks or, you know, bad mouthers.
Yeah, or talked about on social media and all these things. There's so much these days that go into it.
So if we get into social media, that is a total nightmare, especially junior high school girls, which is another subject entirely. But in terms of the workplace, I think, first of all, it's management's responsibility to create processes that are saying to people, hey, it's okay to talk about this. And if that doesn't come first from management, it's much more difficult because people are afraid they're going to get in trouble, you know, be seen the wrong way, et cetera. So first of all, management needs to say, we have a process for this. If you're having difficulty with one of your fellow employees, here are the steps to take. And those steps could vary, obviously, depending on what the problem is. You know, might be sit down with someone from your supervisor, it might be sit down with HR, or it might be just sit down with me or somebody like me that comes in from the outside and is trained in resolving these kinds of things. But most of the time when two people are in conflict, a third person helping them figure it out makes it easier. It's not impossible without that third person, obviously, because we've all fought with our spouses and our children and worked those things out. But I think it's easier if you've got a third person who takes the responsibility for being on both sides, not just on one side. So sometimes I find myself interpreting what one side is saying to the other side because they're speaking different languages, you know, and I don't mean that in a general way. I mean just styles of speaking. So having a third party, having somebody who's dedicated to helping you resolve the difficulty rather than somebody who's dedicated to making the decision for you makes a huge difference. And in my mind, that's the difference between arbitration, where somebody acts as a judge and makes the decision, or what I do, which is what I call mediation, where I'm not making their decision, I'm helping them to reach an amicable decision that's workable.
Boy, so much of it is just psychology and getting by with, as you say, just even in your personal lives, these things, recognizing and dealing with them. And I want to tell you to contact Dr. Diamond and have her come in. Boy, go to her website. But also, she's got these books that can really reconcile some of the things so many people are going through. Culture, inside the company and outside the country. Also, leading and managing a global workforce, you know, merging two different, way different cultures. And then conflict in the workplace, causes and cures. So I do recommend those. But what are some of the common themes you do see, Dr. Diamond, that could help some of our viewers and listeners in reconciling some of, what are some of the conflicts?
Some of the conflicts are really about processes that Department A and Department B have to interface with each other over certain things. And Department A set some systems in place that they don't realize are onerous to Department B. Mm. Two quick examples of that. One is where the finance department or the accounting department demands that every purchase have to go through them in some way before it's authorized. And then you have somebody out on a job and they need a screwdriver and they can't just go next door to, you know, Home Depot or Orchard Supply or Ace Hardware, one of those places, and get the screwdriver because they haven't been authorized to buy a screwdriver. And that happens a lot. The larger the company, and certainly in government agencies, that happens a lot. So that's one kind of thing. The other kind that happens a lot, also thinking in terms of government agencies, and I don't mean to be picking on them, but those are the examples that are popping into my head.
15 seconds, Doc. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, contracts and procurements, that somebody needs to bring somebody in to do something, and because of all the red tape, instead of it taking days, it takes months.
So much of management is getting through that red tape. Go to Dr. Arlen Diamond's website, diamondassociates.net. We'll see you next time, Doc. We appreciate you so much and hope people will come to your website and get a lot better information. It is just one of the biggest burdens for the art world and for the religious world, and from one of the most visited places in all of Paris, as Notre Dame burns this hour. Just the most unthinkable thing. It was undergoing renovations. And then around 6 o'clock local time in Paris, this morning our time, flames and thick smoke billowed 800-year-old Gothic cathedral. Not sure of the cause, historic landmark, do not begin to describe this place. So many monuments lost. We do know there were 16 copper statues that were completely historic that were taken away because of the renovations that will be saved, but you know, when you see the crowd standing around just completely silent and in tears, you understand some of these things, the Nazis and all these things that this place has overcome over the centuries. And in 2019, maybe just because of some renovations, this all happened. We're having our friend Tom DelBaccaro chime in on the political headlines of the day. But Tom, I also know that you're a very astute world traveler in Europe, and you've been here. So I just wanted to sort of talk to you a little bit about what this means. And you're Catholic too, right?
I am, and I also briefly went to architecture school.
Oh.
This is one of the 10 most important buildings in world history. It is very unique. You can see in the picture there, up in the front portion of it, you see those what are called flying buttresses. Those are the greatest example probably in world history of that. This is on an island. I posted pictures on Facebook. It has unique designs throughout it. It is more than a national landmark. It represents, where do you want to go? There's the Vatican, the two Duomos, and one in Florence, one in Milan. This is the most important building in France. I mean, and it's not replaceable. You could actually replace the Eiffel Tower. You cannot replace this building. Its inner contents had so much wood involved, which seems very strange, but so much wood involved they called it the forest or something like 54 acres worth of wood used to build it. So the magnitude of this loss cannot be estimated. They were able to get a lot of the yard out, but I was lucky enough to go there not that long ago and be able to take some pictures. It's really a tragic loss on so many levels.
I can't imagine the heartbreak for the citizens and Catholics around the world. And again, you're the author of The Divided Air. We're going to chat in a moment. But, you know, aside from the artifacts and so much lost, the historical events that happened there, you can barely begin to speak of it because it's over 870 years.
Yeah, no. There are many churches throughout Europe, not in the United States, that are 1,000 years old. But this is one of the largest. I actually, on three consecutive Sundays, attended Mass at the Duomo in Florence, Notre Dame, and then St. Patrick's in New York. And you could, you know, there's just no way to describe what Notre Dame was like. It was very different from any of the major churches in the world, different than the Taj Mahal, which is another very important historical building. It was just so unique and so ingrained in world history and the history for the French. I mean, there really is no comparable building in America to what that represents to them. And so for most Americans, it would be very, very difficult to imagine. So what you're seeing here is this is, most people know this Notre Dame from like sort of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, who ranged between the two towers that are, if you're standing looking at those towers, then you walk in the church and this is the view, that view you had up is what you see there. And it's irreplaceable.
Yeah, we almost have to go out on a limb and really use our imagination as Americans because we're only 200 some years old. Notre Dame's 870 some years old. And so it goes back so, so very far. And I don't want to, you know, as Christians, we put our hope in Jesus Christ, not just in artifacts and things, but it doesn't lessen the fact that there are very important structures and remembrances and events that happened there that are very impactful. And so many people have gone there over the centuries and been touched by everything they've seen. And now it's no more, although they have said already, as it still burns this hour, that they will try to reconstruct. And no doubt they will, Tom.
Yeah. The difference is that when a piece of art is lost, you are dealing with a replacement. And you're right. The church isn't the building. It's what's in people's hearts and in their souls and in their minds. But man is stirred by imagination. And these buildings have stirred the imagination and the reverence of millions and millions and millions of people every year. And so to lose any one of them, it can. I just, for someone like me who has spent some, there's a recent picture showing the construction work that was going on, the restoration. There you get to see a good picture of the fact that Notre Dame is actually on an island. So it's hard to, my daughter went to school there 1 year, so it is really hard to imagine.
And you're right, you know, our hope is in heaven, but we are so stirred and so touched by art and the events that we knew that happened there. So it is, you know, a time of mourning for Catholics and the French, and it can't be overstated what it meant for art and for history and for the things that so many believe in. And it'll be, you know, Tom, it'll be a thing before 2019 and after 2019. It's just so sad that it happened.
Yes. So this picture you're showing on the left gives people some of the perspective. Those towers in the back is what you saw with the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But the building has like three very distinct elements to it. Those that tower area, the central area, and then the closest to you where you see those flying buttresses. And what those were like the ribs on a ceiling. You would see a piece of wood. Well, they would put that within the ceiling nowadays, but back then they did not. What they did is they created the column in the outside with the wide base, and it goes up, and then they used the technology that the Romans made so famous with the arch, and the arch would go into the building. Normally it's you can't see that, but then again, that picture showed you they did it from the outside, which made it extraordinarily unique and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame was undergoing $6.8 million renovations. Just some things were crumbling when that fire broke out. And we're so pleased. We're going to talk about the political headlines of the day here in America when Tom comes back. But he is such a world traveler and Renaissance man. We appreciate your take on that. And just wanted to take a moment to talk about this auspicious time in history when Notre Dame has burned, and we've lost so very much of it. Back after this with Tom Del Vaccaro. Back with Tom Del Vaccaro, longtime contributor to Forbes, host of Political Vanguard, and also the author of his latest book, The Divided Era. You can find so many of his commentaries, too, on foxnews.com. He is a contributor for that place, and also here on America Trends. And, Tom, there's so much to talk about at all times. The state of the Democratic race, who's ahead, who's just jumped in. Is Biden fading away as you predicted? But first of all, we found out today that the Mueller report, redacted, will be released Thursday. And all of Washington is abuzz and waiting. And what would the fireworks be after that? Do you think Americans really care as much as people inside the Beltway do?
No, not anymore, to be sure. Now that it's going to be apparent that really what was happening all along was that Mueller was going to find him guilty. Look, here's what's about to happen. It's going to be fireworks, okay? And there's 400 pages. The Democrats will seize on two or three of those and claim that Trump did X, Y, and Z, maybe even claim that Trump obstructed justice. And they will crow about that and crow about that. And that will last about 2 months, with two more months of energy. And then what's going to happen is that the IG report's going to come out about the FISA abuses, and it will turn back on them, and it will begin to die out, especially as independents tire of this. But we still have another cycle or two to go here.
The investigators will be investigated. Mueller has apparently put together a team to look into just why all this happened. If there was a big, I hate this term, but nothing burger. Do you think anything will come of that, or is it just process?
Yeah, William Barr, not Mueller, put the team together.
Oh, so sorry. Yeah, William Barr, new attorney general. Thank you.
Yes. Sorry. No, I do think something will come out of it, because Mark Meadows has already said he believes there will be referrals. I do, too. Look, they broke the law. In order to get a FISA warrant to spy, there was spying. They went to the spy court. The FISA court's the spy court. They went and spied on Americans. And they did not have any reasonable grounds to believe that some of the information they were using were true. Those are violations. If I go to court and submit a declaration under penalty of perjury, and I know some of it's false or have no grounds to believe that part of it's true, that's on me. I break the law, and I'm subject to the penalty that comes to that. So yes, I do think something will come out of this. It'll probably come next year. I don't think Barr's going to have the patience of some of these other people. So this is going to turn on the Democrats and go against them. If we switch gears as to this presidential election, that would tend to hurt Joe Biden, since he was part of the prior administration. The two people that did best last time around in 2016, other than Hillary, were, of course, Trump and Bernie Sanders, who are considered outsiders. Bernie Sanders is not a an establishment Democrat. Trump's not an establishment anything. And so this fervor of anti-establishment benefited them, and it's going to benefit them again. And Bernie Sanders is going to be the nominee. You have a new poll coming out, the first poll taken really after the Biden, the information came out on Biden related to some of the more difficulties he's having with his hands and some other things related to that. And it shows Sanders firmly ahead. Now, what does firmly ahead mean? Because there's polling out there that shows the Democrats want a moderate. Most of the Democrats want a moderate. But most of the Democrats don't go to the primaries, just as most Republicans don't go to the primaries. The motivated do. And Bernie has the motivated people.
Yeah, Bernie people are on fire for Bernie, Tom. They have been, and they may be even more now because he was sort of got the shaft from Hillary and the DNC, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. So his polling, wherever it is the most firm, meaning if you ask that person, are you really committed to your guy or gal, they would say with Bernie, yes, more than anyone else. So he's going to go into Iowa. He's been at 20-something percent in Iowa and will stay there all the way through to next January, whereas others are going to fluctuate. You might have Mayor Pete going up this week. You might have, if Kamala Harris says something in particular, she may. But the person who has the most committed voters in Iowa will be Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden will fade. He's already started to fall in some of these polls. Bernie's going to win Iowa. He's going to win New Hampshire. And then and he's going to do well in California. I mean, a recent poll had it Biden, Sanders, Kamala Harris, and that's her fault. When she ran for U.S. Senate, including against me, she didn't go around the state. She took it for granted. And so she didn't develop the strength that she needed if she was really thinking about running for president. So Bernie Sanders is going to do really well, and he's going to be the nominee. And Joe Biden's going to fade, as he's already started to do.
Yeah. Tom Delvecchio, author of The Divided Air, which you can find on Amazon and booksellers everywhere. You've said all along that Biden will fade, and that has so much to do with, as you say, the touching and not even the issues with the Ukraine that have come out and sort of damned him the past 2 weeks, which many people aren't that aware of because it's not as sexy as him, you know, touching people and all that. And the women coming out saying, I was uncomfortable by Joe Biden over the years. And you've also said Bernie Sanders has that infrastructure in place and that will be another thing that motivates his. You think he'll be at the top of the Democratic cadre there?
Yeah, no doubt. Joe Biden always stumbles out of the gate. This is his third attempt at running for president, and he has stumbled out of the gate the prior two times. He's stumbling again, and that is why major donors are reticent to commit to him, because he's always stumbled in the past, and he's already stumbling, and they think the party has moved too far to the left for him. So they're not anxious to get by him early. And I think he is falling in the polls again. He has the softest support at 20%. I really think if he makes it all the way to Iowa, and there's a chance he decides ultimately not to run, but if he makes it all to Iowa, I think he'll finish in the top four, but he won't win, and he won't win New Hampshire. And by then, the polls will turn around, because even though he's leading in California today, that's not after he loses a couple of primaries, he's going to look very beatable. And so things will change.
Tom Delvecchio, PoliticalVanguard.com. Can't wait to keep talking to you in coming weeks to see if you think Bernie Sanders could ever beat President Donald Trump. We will watch you on Fox News and Fox Business and buy your book and check out PoliticalVanguard.com. Also follow Tom on social media. He's got great articles out every day with great insight. Tom, thank you so much for being on America Trends. Sugar.
She can go up to the sprinkler she likes it because it's at her.
Oh!
Oh, baby!
What?
Does Bailey want a treat?
Acordamos en que se lo diríamos juntos. Sin decirme nada. Oye, papá, digo, tranquilo también, ¿no? Mi mamá está lidiando con muchas cosas.
Can't be any weirder.
Don't do it.
That's why God created the internet, we always say. That was some of the best viral pet video around the web for our YouTube America TV audience. We also thank our BizTalk Radio audience for being here and our guest, Shirlene Reeves, who is a motivational speaker and author and CEO and founder of Maximize Your Wealth Now. Dr. Arlen Diamond, expert on the workplace, and she talked about how to deal with conflict in the workplace, especially, you know, different cultures and not letting things build up in the short term because they could become a tragedy in the long term. Tom Del Baccaro is the author of The Divided Era. That's his latest book, former chair of the California Republican Party, and also a contributor to Fox Business and Fox News, and he's had some recent appearances on there. And you can always check him out on Political Vanguard and check him on social media. He's got great columns every day. Glad you were here. You can find us on U2America.com 24/7. I'm Amy Fuller, but want to tell you two big trending thing in entertainment that you have going on right now. Yes, it is trending at number one on YouTube, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Trailer dropped over the weekend, an all-new single-player Star Wars for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and your PC. It's out November 15th, and we have your first look now.
It wasn't always like this. But now, there are three rules to survive. Don't stand out. Accept the past. Trust no one.
Order 66.
Trust no one.